Welcome to Internet Aesthetic, a podcast about the internet, aesthetics, culture, and media. We are two Vietnamese American women who live in a society, and we're here to analyze it. Grab a snack and hang out with us. Hi, Lisa.
Hey, Lisa.
How are you?
I'm good.
Things are good with me, too.
What are we talking about today?
Today, we're talking about monetizing hobbies. So why did we want to talk about this today, Lisa?
Yeah, I mean, this is something that I have a lot of thoughts about personally, just because, like, I mean, I think we're both very crafty people, but for me, at least, I find that anytime that I start a new craft or, like, I'm just, like, if I'm working on something, my mom's always like, oh, are you gonna, like, quit your job and do this instead? Like, knitting or whatever. And I'm just like, I can have interests, you know? Yeah. Like, I could just do things because they're fun. Like, I don't have any intention of making money off of, like, my cardigans or anything. Plus, they're for me. I'm not giving them away.
No, it's so true. And, like, we've been seeing pretty often on social media now. Like, that's just a common rhetoric, not just with our parents, but with our friends, too. Like, it's so common to hear. Mm-hmm. So when are you gonna start selling that?
Yeah. People are always like, oh, you should make an Etsy. And I'm like, I guess I could, but I don't want to. I hate the idea that I have to turn something that I'm just trying out or, like, I'm casually interested in into, like, a full-on business. Yeah. Like, I don't have the time for that.
Yeah. I find, like, people ask more now because a lot of people have turned their hobbies into a business during the pandemic.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
No, same. Like, ever since I started sharing my knitting projects and, like, updates on my Instagram, mm-hmm. without fail, every time, like, people will respond to my story or my post and be like, wow, are you gonna, like, start selling these? And can you make me a sweater? And, like, honestly, you're right. Like, it's very flattering, but they don't mm-hmm. see that these sweaters that I'm making, they take me probably, like, 3 times as long as they should because I always make mistakes. They don't see, like, mm-hmm. all the loose threads that I have that I'm too lazy to sew up. Like, I didn't bother to tuck in. And so it's, like, definitely not commission level yet. But also, like, I'm not making these to be perfect. Like, I just literally wanted to try out making a sweater.
So yeah.
I realize I don't like knitting that much to that level yet.
Yeah, like, it kind of turns something that you enjoy into a job and a chore. I guess, like, turning it into a business is turning it into a job. Like, that's the point. But it mm-hmm. becomes a chore to just do it for money instead of, like, doing it because you're, like, passionate about mm-hmm. it or, like, it's for you. Instead of it being for you, it's, like, for somebody else now. And I think that that's less fun.
Yeah, they're two completely different things, even if it's, like, you're essentially doing the same task.
It's also, like, I'm too lazy to make things perfectly. Like, mm-hmm. I really, like, when you were like, oh, yeah, I don't tuck in my loose threads. Really, like, I so feel that. And also, like, whenever people say, like, oh, are you going to sell that? Mm-hmm. Like, I would buy it. I'm like, would you really, though? Because especially, like, with knitting cardigans.
Yeah.
I started knitting cardigans because I saw really nice cardigans that I wanted, but they were, like, $300. Yeah. I was like, that's way too much money. But once you, like, buy the supplies, that's, like, already $100 for, like, good quality yarn.
Yeah.
And then you spend hours making it.
So long.
And then you're like, oh, so this is why it cost $300. Honestly, it should probably cost way more.
Yeah.
And it's like, if I'm not going to, like, spend money on it, like, I doubt very many other people are.
Yeah. It's like, trust me, you don't want this cardigan.
Yeah. It's also, like, this is, like, kind of a tangent, but it's like, they're hard to, like, keep clean and, like, keep in, like, a pristine condition, mm-hmm. especially, like, with wool.
Yeah.
Because they just, like, tend to felt and pill and stuff.
My mom's favorite activity is, like, collecting all of my handmade cardigans and just, like, sniffing them while watching HGTV. Aww. That's, like, her de-stressing time, so.
Oh, that's so handy. That's so nice of her.
So I guess, like, there are people who really enjoy this and have definitely made a living out of it. Mm-hmm. What we wanted to go over in today's episode is that while it is really wonderful that people are able to make a living out of doing what they love, like these creative hobbies, we feel like we shouldn't feel shame around just enjoying a hobby for the sake of itself and not monetizing it. Because we have felt that. Not like shame, maybe, to that level, but that discomfort of feeling like, is it a waste to do this hobby if I'm not like getting my return on it?
Yeah, it's not productive if you're just doing it for yourself, and there's always like this pressure to spend all of your time doing something productive. Why is this a trend, Isa?
I was thinking about that, like, why is everyone suddenly turning their hobby into business? And then I realized, yeah, times are hard right now and people do need money. Mm-hmm. I mentioned this earlier, but I noticed like an influx of these businesses on Instagram during the pandemic, because a lot of my friends at least got laid off from their jobs, and that's when they started creating Instagram shops for their hobbies. One of my friends got to knitting. She doesn't sell her pieces, but she's a part of a community that does sell like commission work. And for many, their day job is just simply not enough to make ends meet, even if they were able to keep their jobs. Also, jobs are just soul-sucking in general. Most of my friends, except for maybe you and me, they are really unhappy with their work. But a lot of my friends are in like investment banking and consulting and very stressful jobs. And the only way they are able to, I guess, like find solace in their off hours is to do a hobby. And I think like,
yeah,
their nature is to also capitalize on that and like find ways to turn their hobby into something that can make them money too. Or like scale up their hobby enough so that they can leave their like soul sucking job.
Yeah, because I guess like you kind of start out selling things individually.
Yeah.
Like one off pieces, and then if you're like building up an Instagram following, then you can start making more and more and selling more and more. And then at a certain point, it becomes profitable enough that you could like theoretically quit your job and just do it full time. Yeah. I guess it's more fulfilling than your average job.
Exactly. Most of my friends, like, they just can't wait to clock out. It's interesting because now more than ever, the barrier to entry to succeeding in these hobbies and like monetizing them is like lower than ever. Like theoretically, like anyone can learn how to do like every step of the process of building their hobby into a business. Number one, you can actually learn the craft from like YouTube or whatever.
Knitting.
That's a great example. You can learn how to knit from YouTube, and then you can learn how to market your knitting business from YouTube as well. And you can just use your own Instagram account to market it and like use the right hashtags and be in the right communities. And then you can even like sell your knitting stuff on e-commerce platforms. Like you don't need to like have a brick and mortar shop anymore to make a business. Mm-hmm. And more than ever, people are helping each other learn too. The knitting community is so supportive. You can learn from each other like how to sell patterns or how to write patterns.
Yeah.
What have you been noticing?
Yeah, I think it's something that's really appealing and tempting. Mm-hmm. Every time someone's like, you should make an Etsy, like I do think about it. I do entertain the idea. Because I really love watching those YouTube videos where a lot of like illustrators have Etsy shops and they will like just print and like pack their orders. Yeah. And I just love watching people pack their orders. Like it feels so therapeutic. Mm-hmm. I really want to do that. I just want to like put shit in envelopes and stamp things and then mail them away. So I get the appeal. Mm-hmm. And then I get also the appeal of like being your own boss and like setting your own hours. I guess like to a certain extent you can set your own hours, but I guess a con also is you have to work all the time.
Yeah. The YouTube piece is interesting because like a lot of people make more money on YouTube filming what they do than they actually do selling the things that they make.
Oh, yeah.
Through, like, ad revenue or whatever, getting sponsored. So that's, like, a tertiary hobby that I see related to these, like, creative hobbies.
Yeah, that's true. I was watching Florian Gatsby's 100K subscriber Q&A, and he also mentioned that he, like, makes a lot of money off of YouTube now, which is kind of funny.
Yeah, that is funny. I also entertain the idea of getting good enough at whatever I'm doing to sell it because it's expensive, the things that I like doing. Mm-hmm. And like, it'd be really nice to make up for all that money that I spent on it.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to get some money back on all that yarn I spent.
Yeah. It is really unfortunate that things cost money.
Yeah.
Sometimes some crafts, like you have to buy things in bulk, even though you really only want to do like a one-off project. Mm-hmm. And so I think you and I, we both have just like a lot of stuff. Like I made Shrinky Dink keychains once. After I was finished making my keychains, I actually gave my supplies to Jenny, and she and her mom made a bunch. Apparently, like, her mom got really into it, and they made, like, a ton. And then eventually, they, like, returned the supplies to me. There's still so much. Like, apparently, I guess her mom felt bad about using up all of, like, the Shrinky Dink paper. It's not paper, but the plastic. Mm-hmm. So she bought me more.
Oh.
And I was like, I don't know what I'm gonna do with this.
I think I gave this to you because I didn't want it.
Yeah. Do you want to make keychains?
Oh, yeah. And at the same time, we can go through my 30 pounds of soy wax that I bought during my like small stint in wanting to make like one candle. Just have like a day where we use up all of our shit.
Yeah, that's gonna be many weekends.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I also feel like monetizing hobbies is trendy just as like an extension of hustle culture.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's always just a pressure to aim higher, to do more, always like be ahead of where you were yesterday. I mean, it's a very common narrative. Work until you die, basically. And then you can, like, relax later. And I guess that kind of segues to, like, why monetizing hobbies isn't really for us. So, I guess, like, Lisa, why haven't you made that Etsy account?
Yeah, I guess to just talk about, like, the side hustle pressure first. Mm-hmm. I think you're right that there's, like, this pressure. As somebody who works in a creative field, there's kind of almost an expectation that you have something that you're working on the side. That's like your passion project or your side hustle. Like, it's not just your job. You have something else that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
That's like your creative outlet outside of your job. And like for the longest time, I felt really guilty and kind of ashamed because I didn't have that prior to this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it really kind of, like, it fed into my imposter syndrome, too.
Oh, Lisa.
And, like, made me feel even worse because I was like, oh, I'm not, like, a real designer because I'm not working on, like, a branding project or I'm not, like, illustrating as much as I should. And it's like, I have a lot of ideas of things that I want to do, but I don't really have the energy or the motivation to do them. And it's also because I'm like, oh, I'm not going to do it the way that I envision it in my head. And so I just don't, which is like another issue that I need to like figure out.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously we all start somewhere and we all have to like just do it in order to get better. I also don't really want to.
You did do the branding project though, right? When you were looking for jobs.
Yeah, I did my self-branding. Because things like that feel more practical to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, working on personal branding is more fun and more applicable to me. Even though, like, I don't hand out the business cards that I make. And then making the website, I need that. I need, like, a good website so that I could apply to jobs at the time. After those two, I don't think I really worked on anything for a long time until we started this podcast. Mm-hmm. Now I do think of this as kind of like a passion project or like a fun little creative outlet, but I don't want people to be like, oh, so now you're like one of those designers that has a project on the side. I put almost no effort into this. Or rather, I mean, I put a lot of effort into this. I don't care about it too much. Like, I care about it, but I don't really care as much about it being successful or growing, which I think is maybe better because now every time we gain a follower or whatever, or like someone messages us and they're like, oh, I listened to this episode recently and I really liked it. Like, it's always very shocking.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen a lot. I feel like I'm making it sound like it happens a lot, but it's started to happen.
Yeah.
And it is very shocking that anybody listens to this because I feel like we could be putting more effort into this, but at the same time I don't want to.
No, yeah, it's like we're not results focused.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing we're really focusing on is like the product that we create. I mean, like, I'm sure we definitely like write out these episodes trying to make sure that people want to listen to it, but like I think we're not as like results focused.
I feel like I'm explaining it poorly. Like, I'm like, oh, our podcast sucks.
No, we're doing it because we want to, not because we feel like we have to. Or, like, because we feel like something is on the line if we don't do it. Like, this is truly something
we
do because, like, it brings us joy and, like, nothing else, honestly.
Yeah. That's like something that I do think about too, is like right now we're doing it for fun. And part of me is like, oh, it would be really cool if it became profitable. But at the same time, I'm very afraid of it becoming profitable. Mm-hmm. Just because then I feel like once you start making money, there's an expectation that it has to be good.
Yeah. That's a little too like, much for us.
Paid, you guys got paid for this? That's a bridge that we will cross if yes. it ever, if we ever come to yeah. it.
I was thinking about our parents' generation and how, like, mm-hmm. a lot of these kinds of crafts were their job. A lot of my aunts were seamstresses, so mm-hmm. they, like, made clothes for a living. And so the thought of someone, like, creating clothes and, like, garments on their own, like, I think about, like, Bernadette Banner. She's a really popular YouTuber who creates, like, period piece costumes or, like, mm-hmm. I guess period piece clothing items. Like, the thought of making those and, like, not selling them would be, like, preposterous to them. Like, this takes a lot of time and, like, money, and this feels like a job. Like, why not turn it into a job? For them, like, the thought of doing it for free is, like, mind-boggling. Mm-hmm. And then I know, like, my parents now also think, like, well, if you can do something on the side to make extra money, like, if you can make money from it, why not? Like, if it helps you, like, yeah. in your career especially. And so I can see, like, how in creative fields it's, like, especially pressuring, because, like, technically, like, nothing is stopping you. Like, you have the skills to do it. So, like, why not? But really, like,
yeah,
the toll it takes on your mental health is, like, very invisible. My parents would never understand.
Yeah, that's true. Like, I guess you're right. The barrier to entry is, like, so low that it's, like, kind of, like, well, why not? Just do yeah. it and see what happens. Because in the beginning, like, you don't really need to put that much effort in. You can just see what interest there is and work on growing your audience until it becomes profitable.
Yeah,
yeah, my mom is actually the same. Like, she really likes making little succulent pots and giving them away as, like, gifts and stuff. Mm-hmm. And sometimes she'll talk about, like, oh, yeah, one day I'll, like, open up a shop and sell, like, my succulents and stuff. So I guess even my mom is thinking about, like, her side hustle.
You can help her create that Etsy shop real quick.
Yeah.
Why else don't you have an interest in monetizing your hobbies, Lisa?
Yeah, I guess, like, from a practical standpoint, like, I don't want to deal with the taxes of, like, creating a business, right? Because legally, if yeah. you're going to start a business, you need to, like, incorporate as a business, and you need to pay taxes on that business, and I already hate working on my own taxes. I don't want to, like, work on business taxes, too. I also don't like the idea of competing with other people. I guess, like, starting out is so hard because there's just, like, so many creators, and it's, like, so difficult to just find.
Yeah.
I feel like it would be so difficult for other people to, like, find my work, mm-hmm. or, like, even if they were interested in buying my work or whatever. There's just so many people that you could buy from, and if you look at it big picture, it's all kind of this, like, obviously every person's store and, like, their craft is different and unique. Mm-hmm. But, like, if you look at the whole thing,
yeah.
it's, like, all kind of the same a little bit. And it's, like, well, why would you buy, like, I don't know, my cardigan over, like, somebody else's, you know?
It's, like, there are only so many prints you can buy and only so many mugs.
Yeah.
I know, like, the communities are pretty tight-knit.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen, not drama, but, like, when people start making work that's, like, too similar to others. I don't think it's ever, like, in bad faith. Like, I don't think anyone, like, purposely plagiarizes, but, like you said, a lot of, like, people learn from each other, like, especially nowadays on Instagram, and
I think I would also just burn out mm-hmm. from having a side hustle mm-hmm. or, like, turning my hobbies into a business. Like, I already have a job, and then, like, turning the hobby into another job would just, like, take so much time and effort. And, like, I really respect the people who do that mm-hmm. because I would not be willing to give up my free time to do more work. I don't know. Maybe it doesn't feel like work to them, and maybe they find it really fulfilling, but the idea of doing that is just, like, really exhausting to me.
Yeah, because, like, the thing is, it's not just making the sweater now. Like, before, when it was a hobby for you, it's just making the sweater. But now it's, like, dealing with customers and like making sure all of your product descriptions are up to date and like making sure your taxes are paid. And like that's the additional.
Yeah. Like photography. You have to like take pictures of whatever it is.
Yeah. It's like all these other skills that you did not sign up for. I guess you did sign up for it if you're turning to a business, but like that were totally unrelated to the original hobby in the first place.
Yeah, or like you have to start a YouTube channel, or like I remember seeing on Reels and like TikTok, I guess, but a lot of creators will like make Reels and TikToks complaining about the fact that Instagram specifically has turned from like an image-based social media to like more video focused. Mm-hmm. And so now they have to like learn this new skill in order to like market their product or whatever. I guess you could also like make a YouTube to promote your stuff, and then you have to like learn how to like shoot and edit videos mm-hmm. that are like appealing and professional looking so that people will actually want to watch them. It's a lot of work.
The quality of these videos, like these studio vlogs I watch, are like so high.
Yeah.
Shout out to Ami Ceramics and Apple Cheeks. Y'all are so multi-talented.
Dude, honestly, I totally forgot about the video aspect of it. I guess you don't have to do that, but it's helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I also don't want to deal with customers, actually.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, when people say, like, yeah, do what you love, I feel like that's such a useless statement. Because, like, yeah, you can love the hobby, but, like, do you love having customers, like, yell at you for, you know, not reading the product description? Like, I don't know.
Or, like, if something got lost in the mail.
Yeah.
It's kind of a hassle. It's like, do what you love, but like, do you have to make money off of it? Like, can't you just do it?
Exactly.
Because you love it.
If you're basing your decision on how like sexy the job is, it sounds like running a sticker shop would be easier, but there's something really nice about having structure and like a boss.
That's the other thing, is like, I do really appreciate and value the structure of having a 9-to-5 job.
Yeah.
With like benefits.
Yeah. 401k matching and everything.
Yeah. I would be a terrible boss. I would be a terrible boss to myself. It would be so hard for me to find the motivation to do the things that I would need to do. I mean, I guess if it's my livelihood, I'd be like, okay, I have to do this in order to eat. I feel like I would just burn out so fast trying to do it on my own.
Yeah, same. Another con to this trend, at least something I've experienced, is that sometimes people don't even pursue hobbies in the first place because they feel like it's not monetizable. I know I felt this way when we started pottery. Lisa and I, for context, take a pottery class together. It's really fun.
Yeah.
And like, I hate how like one of the first things I thought when I was learning, literally throwing my first pot, was like, what if this isn't even good enough to be sold at like a craft fair?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like a lot of people feel that way, like, what's the point of getting into drawing if it's not good enough to like, you know, publish my Instagram? Or like, what's the point of like doing this if other people aren't willing to pay for it? And I feel like that's not a very healthy mindset, because then you're never gonna start anything that could be potentially fulfilling if the purpose is only to do it for other people. You've touched on that too. I find myself being like more critical, overly critical of my work and myself, like when I have that mindset.
Mm-hmm.
As I'm like making my shitty pot, thinking no one's gonna buy this. I read somewhere that like, you are not a product. You can just enjoy it for the sake of enjoying it and not worry about whether it's like good enough for other people.
Or just like good enough in general. It's very important to accept that things aren't going to be good when you're just starting something. I definitely like relate to that though, because I say that you should just accept that it's not gonna be good, but I'm also like, oh, it has to be perfect.
I will say Lisa's pots are near perfect. Like, I look at hers and I'm like, holy shit, did you like just start pottery too? Or
no.
I'm basically doing this. Sorry, go ahead.
They're not. No, yours are really good too, Issa.
Oh.
There have been a few close calls where my pots will kind of start to cave in and I'm like, no, you will not fall. You will stand up straight. But I did have, like, that one pot that, like, got loosened while I was trying to trim it. or like it didn't stay in place, and then it started like spinning around the wheel. I got pretty banged up. I was like really sad about that, because I think before it got banged up, it was like one of my better pieces. I was like really excited about it because it was like kind of big. I was like, I could put like a flower pot in here or something. But then it got banged up and I was like, okay, it's fine. You just need to like salvage it and make it into something else. Like it's no longer a plant pot.
Yeah.
And then like I just like bent it into like a weird organic shape. And then everyone was like, oh wow, that looks so good. I was like, you guys all watched me fail, but okay.
I think it's because we watched you fail, we were so in awe of how beautiful it turned out afterwards.
I think pottery has helped me, because like I went in being like, nothing you make is going to be good. Just accept it. And I think that that helped me a little bit more to be more patient with myself. Whereas I think if I had gone in with the expectation that like, oh, I'm gonna be like really good at this, or like not that I'm gonna be really good at this, but like, oh, my first pot has to be like perfect. I think if I went in with that expectation, I'd be like a lot more frustrated.
Yeah.
With anything that I made. Kind of like you're raising or lowering your standards, I guess. Like I went in with like low standards, and so I was like really impressed with whatever I made. Whereas like if I went in with higher standards, the same things that I have made that I'm really impressed with, I'd probably be like, oh, this isn't good enough. Like, why is this like little dish not like a big plate or whatever? I guess another reason why people might want to like monetize their hobbies, especially if you're like very crafty and you make a lot of things, at a certain point your house fills up with things that you've made and you don't have space for them anymore. So it's like you kind of have to sell them or like give them away also. You know, if people are gonna buy them, why not sell them?
Who doesn't love money?
Yeah, I think I read an article, maybe it was that Vox article that I linked. Oh, yeah, with the pottery, where, like, she just started, like, learning pottery because she was interested in it, and it was, like, very, like, calming and soothing for her. My recollection of this article is that she posted about it on her Instagram, similar to, like, Florian Gatsby, probably, where he, like, started an Instagram, and he, like, gained a following. But I think in his case, he's always wanted to be, like, a potter. But, like, in her case, she was just, like, doing it for fun, and then she gained this following, and so then she started selling her pieces.
She essentially said, like, I can no longer relax in pottery, which is fine, but she needs to, like, replace that time.
Yeah, it shifted from, like, her making things for the fun of it, and then, like, she made so many things for fun that she started to sell them, and then so many people wanted to buy them that she started to make things to sell. I think that was the gist. We'll link it, and you guys can read it, and then tell us if we're wrong.
That's a good read.
But, yeah. I guess that's the other thing, is, like, I never really stick with one hobby long enough to turn anything into a store. Like, if I were to start a store, it would just be filled with, like, so many random-ass things. Oh, you know, here are a few cardigans, here are some tapestries, here are some kind of shitty pots that could be cool, you know, they're handmade. I just make a lot of crap. Pottery's really fun. Maybe I could stick with it, but I don't know. It's hard to tell.
As we were in the pottery studio and like I was feeling the clay in my hands, I was like, this is something I could do for the rest of my life. And then I thought about how expensive our classes are. I think our classes are pretty affordable compared to other ones, but it's still like several hundred dollars every season or so.
Yeah.
And then I remembered perhaps enjoying a hobby for the sake of itself is a sign of privilege. I want to talk about that a bit too, because I couldn't help but think, you know, why can't people just enjoy hobbies for themselves? And then I realized, they can't afford to.
Yeah, I mean, like, supplies are expensive, especially if you start getting, like, higher quality supplies. Like, you start out with, like, the cheap stuff to kind of learn, but then the better you get, the more you want to, like, use better quality supplies. And then, like, the costs really do add up. And then it's like, okay, I need to, like, make my money back somehow. Like, especially if you don't make a lot of money, or if you're not, like, well off or whatever, and you can't afford to spend money on your crafts or whatever. It's kind of like, okay, well, I need this to, like, kind of fund itself.
Yeah. Almost. To many, these, like, kind of side hustles are a necessary evil. Like, it's not evil. I'm sure a lot of people enjoy them more than they dislike them. For a lot of people, this is the only way they can really make ends meet. They take whatever skill that they do have and try to turn that into a job too. So I get it if people can't just enjoy it for the sake of themselves.
Yeah. It's not like a terrible way to make money.
Yeah.
the main issue for us is like you lose the joy of the hobby once you monetize it, but at the same time it's not a terrible job.
Yeah.
It's a good job. You're able to, like, you know, work for yourself. You know, you can set your own hours. You're doing something that you enjoy creatively, ideally, even if there are aspects of it that you don't enjoy. You know, I'm sure it's, like, very validating to be able to make things that people want to buy.
I'm sure that's much more fulfilling than, like,
slaving away for a corporate entity.
Yeah. And for, like, those people who have to pick up multiple gig jobs instead of a corporate job, like, people who work Uber and Lyft and Instacart and, like, do all these things, like, if they can stay home with their family and turn their love for baking into a business and work with their mm-hmm. family and turn that into, like, a whole business, why not?
Yeah. We're ending on a positive note. It's not a terrible, terrible thing. It's just, you know, we don't personally like the pressure of having to monetize our hobbies or like the idea that we should.
Yes, exactly. If we're privileged to do so, I think we should all feel empowered to make these imperfect things and just mm-hmm. indulge in like expressing ourselves creatively without feeling that external pressure.
Yeah, I started reading this book by Jenny Odell called How to Do Nothing. It's, like, really good. She also talks about how, like, there's this expectation that all of your time has to be spent productively. Mm-hmm. You have to, like, I don't know, make money. Or not make money, but just you have to, like, spend your time productively. And there's something almost subversive about not doing that. Or, like, not doing the things that are considered productive. Like, she's not being like, oh, you should just, like, sit in a chair and stare at a wall. But, you know, like, if you find value in, like, going outside and, like, taking a walk around the park. Like, she mentioned that park that was near the apartment that you used to live at. The Rose Garden one.
Oh, Markham Rose Garden?
Yeah. Finding peace and quiet and fulfillment in just doing things that you enjoy for the sake of enjoying them. I feel kind of bad because I haven't been reading it for the past few days, but I'm also like, at the same time, the title of the book is How to Do Nothing. So
you're just following instructions.
Following the instructions. Yeah. Thanks for listening to Internet Aesthetic. The music for this podcast is Rose Ornamental by Blue Dot Sessions. If you enjoy listening, you can find us on Instagram at net.aesthetic or leave us a voice message at anchor.fm/internetaesthetic. We hope you join us again next week. Bye!
Bye, Lisa!
Bye, Issa!